ITC Film Distributors Limited. A train pulls away from a small rural station.
Lovely, and who's the request for?
My husband, Kevin.
And what would you like to say to him, love?
Well, just sort of tell him that I love him and I can't wait for the day when he comes home.
Ah, how long is he going to be away?
About 2 years.
Terrific. So, if you're listening, Kevin, wherever you are, whatever you're doing, have a nice day and this record's just for you.
A uniformed man opens the rear doors of a van marked HM Prison Slade.
Could I catch a lift?
Yeah. Oh, well, no, we've been not...
Beale, I've just been posted here.
Joe! A brother officer. Yes, of course.
Save me the cab fare.
Ah, well, I'd still claim for it, though.
Thank you.
Beale climbs into the back of the van with several other men and the driver closes the doors. The van heads along a quiet road through snow-dusted countryside.
What's Laddo in for?
Well, sir, it's better not to ask, you know.
In my experience, if you know what a man's done, it may prejudice you against him. Best to start clean, benefit of the doubt. Find out what he is, not what he was.
What you in for, son?
2 years.
I didn't mean time, I meant offence.
None taken.
Know his sort, don't we? See if he's still smiling at the end of next week.
It's a bit bleak up here this time of the year, but in the summer there are some lovely views.
Where's the nearest town?
Well, there isn't one.
There's something to say.
You're as much prisoners as we are.
Well, I can't forget the sea.
The van pulls up outside large arched gates set in the high stone walls of Slade Prison. Jack Gill presents, for Black Lion Films, A Wit's End production. The van drives in and the gates slam shut. Ronnie Barker in Porridge. The van drives through a second set of gates. A prison officer places a young man's belongings into an envelope.
One bunch of keys, one diary, tartan cover, one roll of sellotape, one return portion ticket, Covent Garden to Ongar. That's one journey you won't be making for a while. Ring.
That's my wedding ring.
Married at your age? Darling.
A guard with an Alsatian patrols the perimeter fence, starring Richard Beckinsale, Fulton Mackay, and Brian Wilde, with Peter Vaughan as Grouty. Beale combs his slicked back hair, then admires his reflection in a mirror as he tries on his peaked cap. Still looking in the mirror, he turns sideways and adjusts his tie, then picks up a pair of trousers from a bed and puts them on. Prisoners stroll around an exercise yard. A small, officious-looking man prowls a cell block landing. A prisoner stands to attention when he sees him. Once the officer has passed, the prisoner heads in the opposite direction, dropping a piece of litter on the floor. Ives scampers back to retrieve the piece of paper. The new arrival meets the officious guard at the top of a metal staircase.
What's your name?
Rudge.
Mr. Mackay?
Mr. Mackay.
There are only two rules in this prison, Rudge. You listening to me? One, you do not write on the walls. Two, you obey all the rules. All right? Carry on.
Mackay watches Rudge go, then puffs out his chest self-importantly. Beale heads up a metal staircase, his new black shoes polished to a deep shine. The new leather creaks as he rocks on his heels. A world-weary looking man in his 50s saunters out of a cell, mug in hand. He leans on a metal banister and spots Beale on the floor below.
Do you see yon screw with his look so vain? With his brand new keys on his brand new chain? With a face like a ferret and a pea for a brain? And his end on his whistle in the morning?
That you, Fletcher?
That me, what's up?
Satirical singing.
Well, John Peel, sir, that's traditional, that is. Second only to my all-time favourite, Scotland the Brave. Come where the hands are clapping, come where the toes are tapping, come where the jocks are strapping down.
Fletcher!
Sir?
If you want to sing, I suggest you form a Slate Prison Glee Club.
Glee?
A young man buttons up a chef's jacket as he strolls past an open cell door. He spots Rudge inside, slumped dolefully on a bunk.
Got any snap?
What if I have?
Well, if you have, all right. If you hadn't, I was going to offer you some.
I've got my own.
Fair enough. Lenny got that.
Rudge looks away and Godber slopes out. Rudge's attention is caught by a drawing on the cell wall of a circular bell button with the words, "Please ring for service," written around it.
Oh, Fletch.
I'm late.
Look, I've got a letter from the wife. Can you read it for me?
Look, Bunny, if you can't read, how do you know it's from the wife?
Who's got a letter sent?
Oh, dear. Where's Elaine work? Tarpaulin factory?
Oh, come on, read it for me.
All right, all right. I'll just give you the highlights, right? Dearest Bunny, blah, 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 blah. Blah, 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 blah.
Blah, 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 what?
It's just trivia, Bunny. It's just trivia. It's the weather, her mother's guitar, she's retired to lav, the canary's got hemorrhoids. She met a welder at the Fiesta Club and she's thinking of moving in with him. All right, must be off, but can't hang about.
Bunny looks puzzled.
We haven't got a canary.
As you can see, Mr. Beale, these men are gainfully employed in the manufacture of prison uniforms.
Gonna open my own boutique when I get out.
That'll do, Armstrong.
In the other workshop, men are making metal dustbins. Prisoners are also employed in our electrical shop, medicine shop, laundry, and the prison bar.
Are you wearing makeup again, Whittaker?
It's only a touchy rouge, Mr. McCoy.
Get it off!
Anyone got any cleansing cream?
Get a lot of that, sir.
Insubordination?
Hoovering.
Inevitable, Mr. Beale. We find it best to put them all together in G-Wing, or as we term it, married quarters.
Oh, I don't understand it myself, sir. I never did.
Don't let that show, Mr. Beale. My attitude is, whatever he is, each man in here is as despicable as the next one.
Well, that's very fair-minded of you, sir.
I like to think so.
Two pigs in a pen. Nearby, Fletch is leaning on a spade.
Oh, afternoon, Mr. Breckler.
Busy, Fletcher?
Oh, yes, yes. Busier than ever, sir. Still, I never complain.
I can't actually see what it is you're supposed to be doing.
Oh, no, it's the pigs, sir. They won't eat without my reassuring presence. Very highly strung, your average pig, you know. Who's he?
Oh, Rudge. Newly assigned to the farm.
How do you work that, then?
Pardon?
Well, first day inside. The farm? What is he, the governor's nephew?
First offender. Admin thought it best.
Well, God knows, we need all the help we can get, as you can see. Here, I'll head.
What?
Shovel it.
Shovel what?
Shovel that.
Shovel it where?
From here to there.
Why?
Why? Ah, why? If only we knew that, Sonny, but we don't, do we? Ours not to reason why. Ours but to clean the sty. Wordsworth.
Rudge looks at Barraclough.
Well, you'd better do as Fletcher says.
Fletch opens the gate of the pigsty for Rudge, then Barraclough takes him aside.
This job is a privilege, you know, Fletcher.
For the pigs, yeah.
Look, I want you to set the lad an example. Obviously, he's been foolish to finish up inside here, but I want you to show him that with a bit of graft, he can make a success of his life.
Success? Oh, yeah. I'll tell you about success. I had a pal, came to London 28 years ago, right, without 2 apennies to rub together. Now, he managed to scrape up enough money to get himself a little handcart, and he went round collecting all old newspapers. Do you know what he's worth today?
No, what?
Nothing. And he still owes for the handcart.
Mackay to Beale.
The farm.
Afternoon, Mr. Mackay.
Ah, Mr. Barraclough. The farm produces a modicum of what the prison eats. We've a little livestock, as you see, some pigs, poultry, a few allotments for the older legs. Ah, yes. No guided tour of Slade Prison would be complete without meeting Fletcher, Norman Stanley.
Afternoon, Mr. Mackay. Mr. Beale.
How do you know my name?
Oh, it gets around, sir. It doesn't take long. I expect you're already a legend on some bog walls.
Typical recidivist, this one. Been doing porridge most of his life. Never, I repeat, never give him the benefit of the doubt.
Oh, come on, Mr. Mackay, you know me. Bide me time, keep me nose clean. I'm no bother, am I?
Long to do?
Long enough.
What you in for?
Got caught.
Got the picture?
Godber's helping to dish out food at mealtime.
Sort of pie, sirs?
Fruit pie.
Yes, I realised that. I merely wondered what sort of fruit.
I don't know. Just comes out of a tin marked fruit pie filling.
So we have no clue to its origins.
No, it's not oranges. It's more like plum or a damson.
What's the old up, Fletch? Oh, it's the defrocked dentist having to go to the cuisine again. Move along, Banyard.
This food has not 1 ounce of nutritional value.
Come on, Egon Rone, shift yourself.
What's the matter with you people, Fletcher? None of you exercise your right to complain.
Listen, if you don't move on, my son, I'm going to exercise my right forearm down your throat.
That'll do.
Fletch pulls a face.
Put your complaint in writing, Daniel.
Are you doing it good?
No. Hello, Lynn.
Hi, Fletch.
Here. It's the laddo's first day in here. Do him a favour, will you? Give him a small board.
Godber slops some food onto Roger's tray and then onto Fletcher's. Fletch takes his tray over to a long table.
You're not doing yourself any favours, are you, Banyard, eh? All you're doing is getting up other people's noses, ain't you?
We have certain rights.
No, we don't. We're in the nick.
I suppose you think you're entitled to something better just because you went to a public school, is that it?
On the contrary, Ives, I'm well used to this kind of food. I went to Harrow.
Oh, that's good, isn't it? That's a good advert for the public school system, isn't it, eh? Prepares you for the nick. Of course, it's worse for him, isn't it, and for most of us, isn't it? Because he has had further to drop, isn't he? Professional man, you see. Dentist. Tragic.
What do you mean, Fletcher? Tragic? I mean, it's no laughing matter for that woman he had under the laughing gas, was it?
There's no need for that, Ives. We don't have to keep unearthing each other's past. I'm paying for my peccadillos.
Oh, that's good. Well, if you're paying, I'll have a large one.
What's a peccadillo?
It's a South African bird. Flies backwards to stop getting the sand in its eyes.
No. I know what you mean, though. It's an animal called the armadillo.
Armadillo.
No. That was King Arthur's codpiece.
I think that's what I'm eating and all.
Roger's in a shower block.
Don't worry, it may never happen.
Already has.
I'm here, ain't I? Now look. Whatever you're in here for, you did it, didn't you?
Ain't the rights.
Yeah. Just like me. If we had been caught, we'd have been Jack the Lad, wouldn't we? But we was. We was collared, and that's that. So don't bleat. If you can't do the time, don't do the crime.
I ain't bleating.
Good. Prison is like life, you know. You need something to believe in here. Something to hang on to so you don't go under. You can't buck the system. It's mad to try. But you can lift the heart with an occasional little victory.
Rudge looks thoughtful.
Well, nice talking to you, Rudge. Oh, one more thing. Don't hang about in here too long. Ambush Alley, they call this. Not a safe place in the nick. You get them all in here, transvestites, homosexuals, drug addicts, the lot. I tell you, when someone walks in here, just sits down and gets on with it, it's like a breath of fresh air.
He turns on the water in a cubicle as he passes.
Most areas of the home counties were again affected by major...
In a plush-looking cell with a rug on the floor and curtains at the window, a man sits in an armchair reading a newspaper while someone cleans his shoes.
Shoes all right, Mr. Grout? Okay.
On your way, Jacko.
Huh? Fletch and an old man with a ruddy complexion are playing draughts.
I don't like the look of that new one.
What's your name, Beale?
Yeah.
And put me king back, Fletch.
What are you incinerating, Edley?
It's there, and it was there.
How was it? Oh, maybe I chuck a table. I don't know. Maybe the wind blew it there. That's what I call drafting, you know? The wind blows them apart, isn't it? Go on, put it back then. Put it where you like, if winning is all that important to you.
I'll have it where it was, thank you. I don't mind losing, so long as it's all fair and square.
Show me a man who laughs at defeat, and I will show you a black chiropodist with a sense of humour.
I'm afraid you're late, because it's 7:24.
Woman's lock-up, Mr. Beale. Then I'll buy you a job.
I wouldn't say no to that, sir.
The prison officers have formed a club. It's known as the Prison Officers Club. It was formerly the Coke store before we converted to gas. A little basic, perhaps, but it's remarkable what you can do with a pot of paint, a few horse prices, and a little imagination.
Oh, look forward to it, sir.
I'm sorry, Mr. Mackay.
What are you up to, Ives?
Now, here, listen, Mr. Mackay.
You're always up to something, aren't you, Ives? This is Ives, Mr. Beale. Horrible Ives. Aren't you?
Well, if you say so, sir.
Ives sticks two fingers up.
Don't be cheeky, Ives.
Oh, dear. What a shame. Just when you was poised for victory.
Don't worry. We'll continue this tomorrow.
Ah, well, I don't know whether I'm free tomorrow, do I? I shall have to consult my social diary.
They each head off with half the drafts board.
Oh, well. That's all I have time for. There's the ironing to be done before Starsky and Hutch. Needless to say, I love you and miss your loving arms, I think it is.
Yeah, would be arms, yeah.
Then there's lots of hugs and kisses. Nice letter.
So, there's nothing in here about a welder or a canary?
No, I would have noticed.
Fletch saunters in.
Hey, what? There weren't no welder or a canary. And I never thought there were, neither.
What's he on about?
Search me. Stir-crazy, perhaps.
Yeah.
Hey, how did that kid Rudge manage to wangle the farm?
I don't know. Charm, I shouldn't wonder.
Been sitting in his cell since chow, just staring at the wall.
Ah, well, he's just had his first experience of your cottage pie, isn't he? Best not to move about too much after that, isn't it?
He's only a kid.
Oh, dear, listen to her.
No, I just remember the first night I come in here. How I felt when that door banged shut. Hey, why don't you go and have a word with him?
Why?
Well, you're good at that sort of thing. You perked me up when I first come inside.
Listen, I broke you in, Godber, because you was forced upon my cell. And it was in my interest not to have a manic depressive in the bottom bunk, wasn't it, eh?
Suit yourself.
I will, I will. Oh, dear. Here, you owe me some darning wool.
Already gave you some.
That was in exchange for the orange.
Tangerine. Besides, that was to pay me for the stamp.
What stamp?
For your pools.
I paid you for the stamp with a squirt me toothpaste.
No, that was for the darning wool.
Well, look, I'm not going to sit here arguing a toss with you all night. Have you got any or haven't you?
Yeah.
Well, are you going to give me some or ain't you?
Yeah.
Well, just like that. Three gratis of a nubbin?
Yeah.
Cobblers.
All the way!
Warders lock the cell doors. Floodlights illuminate a high wall topped with barbed wire. Mackay and Beale head down some steps into the officers' club where Barraclough's sitting at the bar.
Evening, all.
Evening, Mackay.
Evening.
Hello.
Ah, chalky.
Henry.
Ah, what'll you have, sir?
No. My shot.
Henry?
Oh, no, I'd better not. I must be off in a minute.
Nonsense, man. He'll have the same again. And Mr. Beale and I will have a pint of your finest. I'll have a dram as well, on the side. Sure, the medicinal. Quite snug in here, don't you think?
Very nice.
Any suggestions, you know, put them to the committee, of which I happen to be the chairman.
Ah, I will, yes.
No, the good thing about a club like this is it gives the men a chance to unwind at the end of the day, have a few laughs. Isn't that right, Henry?
Oh, yes, it's invaluable in that respect.
Ah, welcome sight. First today.
Thank you.
Here's to you, Mr. Beale.
Here's to you, Mr. Mackay.
I found what you had to say very instructive, sir.
Well, one does one's best. Very helpful, you know.
Oh, very helpful. Cheers.
Bottoms up.
Oh, down the hatch.
No, you haven't entered the glamour of profession, Mr. Beale. We're underpaid, understaffed, and overlooked. Even though every time we walk these landings, we put our lives on the line.
Well, if you can't stand the heat, get out of the kitchen.
And the public never hears of us, of course, except adversely. When some namby-pamby politician takes up the case of a psychopath who claims that we've been less than gentle with.
What do they know, sir?
See, that's why. That's why you'll find that we're a pretty tight bunch here. Unified, if you like. Unified in the face of criminal hostility and public indifference. That's why this place is so important to us all. Mm.
Barraclough and the others have slipped out while Mackay was talking.
The hell is everybody?
A lone warder patrols a cell block in near darkness. In their cell, Fletch and Godber toss restlessly in their bunks.
Awake, Fletch?
No.
Is that Burke Atkinson? Keeps getting these terrible nightmares.
Oh, no, yeah.
He's told the shrink about it, but all he's given him is aspirin. You have to feel compassion, don't you?
Yeah.
Human soul in such torment.
Bound up, Atkinson, you noisy scrope!
Daybreak. Fletch emerges from his cell just as a shifty-looking, bald-headed man passes.
Morning, Atkinson. Sleeping better, are we?
I slept like a top till some stupid trannet started shouting.
Rudge nearly collides with Grouty.
What's the rush, son? You should watch where you're going.
You, son, should watch where you're standing.
What's your name?
What's it to you?
A henchman grabs him round the neck.
There's no problem here, Mr. Lassiter.
Name's Rudge. Rudge.
My name's Harry Grout. Don't think we've had the pleasure. These are my friends Samson and Delilah. Samson got his nickname because of the muscles. And she got hers because of her striking resemblance to Hedy Lamarr.
Hey, Grouty, listen to this.
Listen to what? You know Robbie Patton, who works in the laundry? Well, his wife, you see, she wanted a divorce, you see. So she goes to the solicitor, and he says, well, you've got to have grounds, you see. So she says, what's grounds? So he tells her, he says, first of all, there's insanity. Well, I mean, Robbie's a bit of a dipstick, like, but he's not certifiable, is he? Secondly, there's desertion. Well, I mean, he's in here. He can't go nowhere, can he? Thirdly, there is cruelty. Well, as you know, he wouldn't hurt a fly. So that leaves adultery. Oh, what's adultery, she says. So he tells her, he says, ah, I think we've got him there. He is not the father of my child. Good, isn't it? I thought you liked that. Yeah, can I have ladder here? We must be late for work. All right? Yeah? Come on, lad. Not the father of my child.
That's very funny.
I don't get it.
Never mind.
A guard lets Fletch and Rudge through a gate into an outdoor compound.
Who was that fellow on the landing?
Oh, him, Harry Grout. He runs this, Nick.
I thought that was the governor's job.
No, only officially, sonny. Next time you meet him, bow, curtsy, or lick his boots, if that's what he wants, all right?
Thanks.
How are you? Are you ready to do the sluice? The Lister Man sluice!
Grouty's shaving in his cozy cell. Barraclough does a double take as he walks by.
Grout?
Yeah?
Shouldn't you be at your place of work by now?
Well, normally I would be, Mr. Barraclough. But I'm going to see the MO.
Oh, I'm sorry to hear that. Nothing serious, I hope.
Grouty moves closer to Barraclough.
Never been better.
He blows on his shaver. Grouty enters a crowded waiting room.
Do you want to go next, Mr. Kraus?
I mean, I'm in no rush.
I'm afraid you'll all have to clear off. I need this room for a meeting. On your way, lads.
Look, I don't know what this is about, but I require urgent treatment. My boil needs lancing.
If you don't hop it, I'll have one of my lads do it.
Everyone scarpers except for a man with cropped hair sitting with his arm in a sling.
We haven't met.
I'm Harry Grout. Everybody knows that. Bill Oakes. And now you're form Oaksy. You're no second rater. You was moved here from Wakefield, where you obviously kept your nose clean. Halfway through a 12 stretch for armed robbery, innit?
That's right.
Big tickle, that last job of yours. I hope the money's safely tucked away.
Someone's been investing it for me.
Oh, save us prefabs then.
That's why I want out. I wish to unfreeze my assets and take off to the sun.
I can see how you would.
Obviously, there'll be the appropriate recompense to your good self.
Yeah. I like the word recompense.
I was thinking in the region...
No. Let me tell you my thinking. 5,000. Three before, two after. It's only fair the lion's share should come up front. Once people take off to the sun, they're often careless about tidying up their affairs.
Where do you want it put?
Hastings and Thanet Building Society, Bexhill branch.
How long will you need?
You'll have to give me up to 3 months.
Supposing you don't spring me?
And you get your money back, Oaksy. Mind you, I'll keep the interest. 9.25% at the moment. Tax pay. Next! Oh.
Where have they all gone?
They all got better, Doc.
Barraclough and Fletch are in the prison farmyard.
You look a bit down in the mouth, Mr. Barraclough. Anything the matter?
Oh, nothing new. Same old story. Domestic crisis, you know.
Oh, dear. Mrs. Barraclough left, has she?
Unhappily, no, Fletcher.
A warder opens a door in a gate.
Wait!
He stops Rudge walking through, then slides open the gate for Fletch, who's pushing a large metal trolley.
Gee, wheels a wheelbarrow, through streets broad and narrow, crying cockles. Oh, he loves that, you know, he loves all that. Yeah, muscles.
Fletch wheels his trolley past another warder.
What told you to wait in the car? Gee, wheels a wheelbarrow, through wheels and an arrow.
As Fletch and Rudge head across a yard, a man with a small bushy moustache passes them.
Watch out for him. He's the mad butcher of Slave Prison.
What did he do?
Fiddled a VAT on his sausages.
Beale comes cycling into the yard. He pedals past Fletch, then dismounts and props his bike against some railings.
Where are you going with that?
Pigswell.
What?
Swill for the pig, sir. Pigswell.
It's Fletcher, isn't it?
Yes, sir. Settling all right, are you?
Never mind if I am or if I'm not.
I wouldn't leave that bicycle there if I was you, sir.
When I want your advice, I'll ask for it.
Oh, suit yourself, sir. But there are one or two thieves in here. Know what I mean?
Whose side do you want anyway? Ours or theirs?
Neither. Mine.
Beale glances at his bike, then removes it from the railings and wheels it away. Fletch pushes his trolley into the prison kitchen. Godber's tasting a giant vat of soup.
It lacks something, Lotterby. With this soup, Elizabeth David recommends coriander, bay leaves, and a dash of pepper.
Lotterby reaches behind him and tips in the contents of a large tin.
I said a dash, Lotterby.
Beale wheels in his bike and props it by some sacks of veg. Fletch eyeballs the bike and gives Atkinson a subtle nod. Fletch gestures to another prisoner who promptly moves across to a meat slicer.
Show me what it is.
No, really
fast. Fletch and Atkinson head for the bike.
Oh, shame.
Yeah. This man's had an accident, Mr.
Mackay. Let's see, Cooper.
What happened? Carry on, the rest of you. Well, I thought I'd cut the top of my finger off, but it seems to be still there, so.
Mackay looks around him suspiciously, then across at Beale's bike.
That your bicycle, Mr. Beale?
Yes, sir. I took the precaution of bringing it indoors, sir.
Into the thieves' kitchen? Ask yourself a question, Mr. Beale. Was that wise?
What would they want with it, sir?
The Lord alone knows. Rob now, think later. That's their motto.
Godber closes the lid of a vat.
What's on the menu today, Godber?
A creme du barry, sir, followed by curry.
Curried what?
Meat, sir.
What meat?
I don't know, it doesn't say. It just says tinned meat, sir. On the tin, like.
Ladle?
Of course, he sees himself as an authority on curry, he does. I can't where he was stationed in the army.
India?
No, Bradford.
Mackay tastes the curry.
Oh, very fair, Godboy. Very fair. Perhaps, sir. Perhaps just a dash more curry powder.
Oh, right, sir. Lotterby, curry powder.
Lotterby tips in a large tin and Mackay has a sneezing fit. His cap flies off his head into the curry, then he knocks over a stack of plates.
Try a hanky, sir.
A prisoner does something to Beale's bike.
I can't breathe!
What?
I can't breathe! Get the doctor!
The MO, sir?
Get the doctor!
The doctor! Wait a minute!
Beale grabs his bike and wheels it out into the yard, where it collapses underneath him. Having fallen flat on his face, Beale gets to his feet and affects an air of aloof indifference. Godber saunters along a landing and into his cell, where Fletch is lying on the top bunk holding a bicycle bell.
Hello, Lynn.
Hi, Fletch.
That's what you got, is it?
Yeah.
It's hardly ever been used. What are you going to use it for?
I don't know.
Well, why'd you nick it?
Well, he got one and I hadn't.
I can't understand why Mackay hasn't come down on us like a ton of bricks.
I'll tell you why. Because he lost something today in the kitchen, that's why.
What pride you mean?
Ah, something else. Shift your backside.
Why?
It's hidden in your mattress.
Oh, well, I see. So if we get a search, I'm the one who gets to blame.
Oh, yes, you would, yes. Oh, yes.
You think of everything, you do.
I try. Have a look outside. See what it was about.
Godber steps nonchalantly into the open doorway of their cell and looks out at the deserted landing.
Okay, shut your eyes. All right, open up.
Teeth.
Yeah, jaws free. Look.
Look, get off. How'd you come by them?
Mackay sneezed them into the curry.
I'm not sleeping on them.
Oh, well, biters, only half a set there.
No. I mean, they're red hot. He'll turn the nick over looking for them.
He'll negotiate first, won't he?
Bit risky.
Well, you know what they say, don't you? Nothing dentured, nothing gained.
Now, here, listen, Fletcher.
Ives, will you not before you come in here?
Ives closes the cell door.
Who is he?
Ives. Clear off.
Now, here, listen, Fletcher. Grouty wants to see you.
Now, before we get to your last record, how well do you think you could look after yourself on this island?
In Grouty's cell, Delilah's fussing over two budgies in a cage while Grouty's being measured for a jacket. Samson's standing guard outside the cell door. He opens the door for Fletch as he approaches.
How's the dart going, all right?
It's a lovely meeting. And this is the recording that you chose.
Desert Island Discs.
Oh, yeah.
Always been an ambition of mine to be on that programme.
Yeah. Nice spreads, Grattly.
Yeah, feel that. 100% cashmere.
Oh, love, innit?
He's doing me one in Barathea for when the weather gets warmer.
If it ever does.
Yeah. Anyway, Tink.
The tailor bows to Grouty, then to Fletch, and heads out of the cell.
Now then.
Yeah. Grouty, if it's about the, if it's about the teeth.
What?
Well, I realise, of course, that you are entitled to first refusal.
Are you referring to Mackay's missing mother's?
Yeah, well, I presume that's what I was sent for. I mean, nothing escapes you, does it, Grouty?
Ah, now, Fletch. If you've got them, that's your tickle.
Oh, good.
I know. I wanted to talk to you about something else.
Oh, dear.
I had this notion. A football match. Showbiz celebrities. Come up here, give the lads a boost, good for morale.
Oh, yeah, lovely, Grouty, yeah.
I know a bloke in the smoker could organise it. First thing's to get the governor's blessing.
Oh, I'm sure the governor'd do anything for you, Grouty.
Yeah.
Grouty sips an amber liquid from a cut glass tumbler.
You suggested, Fletch.
Why me?
Because you're a man to be trusted and I know you'd do it subtle.
Oh, yeah. And of course, if anything went wrong, it would all come back on me.
That's right.
Yeah. I don't know why I didn't think of that myself.
I'll do as you say, Mr. Mackay, but I'm not happy that we should kowtow to these people. I mean, if we do this kind of thing, isn't there a danger of a loss of face?
That's nothing compared to my loss of teeth.
And the outlook for the weekend is a little change.
Well, that's the weather, folks, and if you're thinking of going out today, my advice...
Bunny takes an interest in a model aircraft Godber's building.
What's that? Spitfire. Saved our skins in the war, they did, them and the Oregons. Yeah, that's what I'd like to have been. Fighter pilot. Up over the White Cliffs of Dover. Quick dogfight with the Luftwaffe. And then back to the mess for bacon and eggs in a sing-song.
Barraclough sidles up to a table where Fletch is playing draughts.
Could I have a word, Fletcher?
I'm busy, Mr. Barraclough. Do you mind?
His opponent almost clears the board of Fletcher's pieces.
Oh, well, if you insist, son. Have to call it a draw, Edling. All right?
In private, if you don't mind.
Oh.
Delicate matter.
Oh, step in the office.
They move over to the bottom of some stairs.
I'm here at the request of Mr. One of my senior colleagues. Well, I think you know that... I know that you know what I know.
How do I?
It's what the grapevine says, you can put your hand on what he hasn't got.
Well, if he hasn't got it, I don't see how I can put my hand on it, sir. And if he has, I'm not sure I want to, you know what I mean?
Don't be obtuse, Fletcher. We both know what we're on about. And I want you to know that I heartily disapprove of this.
Oh, so do I, sir, so do I. But we are just the go-betweens, aren't we, eh? We are merely here to maintain the status quo. And if we don't come to some little arrangement, they go in the auction Sunday.
Ah, arrangement, yes. Yes, which my function is to ensure that the item in question is restored to its rightful place.
To wit, his mouth.
I think we see eye to eye.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know what they say, sir. An eye for an eye and a tooth for a mouth. Clear off.
I've been authorised to go up to a fiver.
Then the quicker you go up to it, the better, sir.
Oh, well, hand it off, Fletcher. I mean, I would like to make some token gesture towards bargaining.
Oh, I'm sorry, sir. I'm sorry. Go on, you go ahead. Bargain away, sir.
350?
A fiver.
Done.
You certainly have been.
Mackay blows a whistle for a foul in a football match.
That was a 50-50 ball, and he bottled out.
I'll have him for that.
Fletch watches the game from the touchline. Beale wheels his bike up behind him.
Afternoon, Mr. Beale.
Afternoon, Fletcher. Football fan, are you?
Yes, love the game, sir, yeah. So good for the lads and all. Teach them things in life, don't it, eh? You know, give and take.
Fair play. May the best man win. Put the boot in, Ewing!
I used to play a bit. In goal.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I can just see you as custodian, sir. Not much to get past you, eh, Mr. Beale? Come on, somebody!
I was fairly useful. Essex Methodist League. Runners-up, 69.
Oh, my word. Of course, what the lads really need is a bit more motivation, isn't it, really?
Hmm?
It's a pity someone in authority don't get one of them showbiz teams to come up here, you know. Work wonders for morale, that would.
Show business?
Yeah. Matter of fact, I know a bloke in the smoke who runs that sort of thing.
Really?
Yeah. Well, be nice talking to you, Mr. Beale.
Yes, yeah, on your way, Fletcher.
Another lager and lime.
Oh, no, my round, sir.
Oh, thirsty work, eh?
Top that one, haven't we?
Keeps me in trim, though.
Oh, yes, I can see that, sir.
Oh.
A lot of talent in the men, but they lack motivation.
Well, can hardly join the league, Mr. Beale. Can't play away matches.
I know a chap in London who organises charity matches. Show business, that sort of thing. Might be willing to bring a team up here.
Show business?
Well, work wonders for morale, sir.
Morale,
Mr. Mackay?
Could work wonders for it, sir. A team from the outside, a sprinkling of celebrities. Put Slade on the map, sir. Local press, that kind of thing.
This idea hasn't come from the prisoners, has it?
No, sir. Off the top of my head, just to...
Yes, well, I'll give it some thought.
Very good, sir.
Fletch to Grouty.
It's on. I heard. Well done, Fletch.
Anytime, Grouty.
Now we need someone reliable as trainer. Oh, well, don't look at me. I've grown disenchanted with the game. 20 years of support in Orient does that for a man.
I insist.
Oh. Oh, well, in that case, it is my privilege.
A group of prisoners jog around a compound.
Come on, I see you flagging!
I heard Rob Stewart was coming.
Is it likely? He's a tax exile.
Who gives a monkeys we're getting double rations? Come on, Oaksy, shift yourself!
Oaksy gasps for breath as he staggers along.
Well done, lads, well done. Now listen, don't forget, early night tonight, all of you. I don't want any of you creeping off down the pub, all right? Oh, hello, Mr. Mackay, didn't see you, Les.
You're a strange choice for trainer, aren't you, Fletcher?
Well, it was the lads what decreed it, so they took a vote, you know what I mean?
I heard, yes. Yet you're a man who's always despised physical activity.
Oh, not in others.
Oaksy and some of the others give Fletch a long-suffering look.
Well, we've got plenty of strength at the back. One thing we're not short of is stoppers. What we need now is a bit of creative midfield flair.
From what I saw of him, Rudge could provide that. Revelation he was.
Yeah. He reckons he had a trial for Brentford before he had a trial for shoplifting.
I can believe it. Have you chose the final team, Mike?
Not yet, no.
Godber reaches into a small wooden wall cabinet.
Want a bit Kit Kat?
Oh, darn, yeah.
You must have a rough idea, though. A nucleus, like.
Well, taking shape.
You got any socks need darning?
Yeah. Matter of fact, I have. Look at that.
Thought I played quite well today.
Did you?
Well, I thought so. It's good in the air. Scored one.
Well, it was Urquhart's shot, really, wasn't it? I mean, just hit your ear as it went in, didn't it, really?
No. That was a cunning deflection.
I went in, wasn't it? Oh, yeah. Oh, God.
The lights go out.
So, how do you rate my chances, then, Fletch?
Chances? Of what?
Making the team.
Slim.
Darn your own naffin' socks.
Fletch smirks to himself as he lies back on his bunk in the darkness. Oaksy takes a wild kick at the ball and misses.
Come on, Oaksy, you're in here for armed robbery. Try and steal the ball once in a while.
You're in the spirit of things, Fletcher?
Oh, afternoon, Mr. Treadaway.
How do you rate our chances?
Well, difficult to tell, ain't it, sir? We don't know what we're up against yet, do we? Have you heard any more about who's coming up here?
They seem rather vague at the moment, don't they, Mr. Mackay?
There is some talk of David Diddy Hamilton, sir. Possibly one of the goodies.
That would be a novelty, wouldn't it? Up here amongst all these baddies.
Is that all, Mr. Mackay?
No, sir, but these people have commitments, you know. It's very hard to pin them down to the last minute.
Your head's going down, Gopper!
Cook, we've had a letter from Michael Parkinson, sir.
Oh, is he coming?
No, sir, but he wrote to say that he would have come. But he isn't.
Oh.
But we have the letter on file, sir.
Didn't you mention that comedian chap? What's his name? Jimmy Tarbrush?
Buck, sir.
Yes, Buck Tarbrush.
Well, unhappily, he's indisposed, sir.
Oh, dear.
Buck Tarbrush.
We should be lucky to get Basil Brush.
Mackay holds open a door for the governor that leads into a changing room where two prisoners are painting a wall.
Look out, Mother Superior.
This will be the visitors' changing room, sir. Our lot will change next door.
We're not painting that as well, are we?
Certainly not, sir.
Good. What about valuables, Mr. Mackay?
They'll leave them in the coat, sir.
Very wise. Who are these fellows?
Whittaker, sir, and Folly. I picked them because they have an artistic bent, sir.
Well, we're bent.
I know.
Carry on.
Mackay rips a newspaper cutting off the wall that reads, Mackay gets the boot.
Get that eyeshadow off, Whittaker. After the game, sir, I thought we'd have a little reception for them in the prison officer's club here, sir.
Oh, I don't think so. It's such an inhospitable place.
Oh, but, sir... Sir, you haven't been there since we brightened it up.
Huh?
I acquired some horse brasses, and Emma's wife has donated a stag's head.
I still think they'd be much more comfortable in the Plough and Sail.
Samson grabs Banyard.
Excuse me, I'd like to go through. They're all engaged.
Fletch gives them both a puzzled look as he heads into the toilet block.
Look, I have certain rights. I'm desperate for pee.
Grouty emerges from one of the cubicles, and Oaksy from another.
Hello, Fletch. Hello, Grouty.
So, let's hear the team, then.
Yeah. Ronnie Simpkin in goal. Well, lesser of two evils, you know. Tommy Armstrong, Steve Callaghan, McLaren, Nifty Small, Mini Cooper, Young Rudd, of course, and... Wellings and McMillan, Doug Haywood, Urquhart and Lenny Gobber. Subs, we got Bunny Warren, Adams and Jacko in case it gets ugly.
Sounds a fairly well-balanced side.
Yeah, I think so. We've gone for a blend of youth, experience, flair and brutality.
Only thing was, I didn't hear Oaksy's name in there.
Oh, no, I think Oaksy will be the first to admit that he's not a footballer.
Yes, I am.
Well, footballer, yes, maybe, but I mean, what I mean to say is you are not as fit as some of the younger lads, are you?
Yes, I am.
Put it another way, I mean, I was basing it on the fact that he cannot tackle, pass, trap or dribble. He throws in well, mind.
He's playing.
No, he's not.
Yes, I am.
Is he?
Oh, yes.
Oh, no, I've got your name down here all the time, Oaksy. Look, it's just I've spelled it McMillan.
Come on, Fletcher, you're late.
All right. I just want you to know I've had it with you.
You what?
You've really got up my goat these last 2 weeks, you have. Wrong, Gobber. I get your goat, I don't get up your goat. I'll get up your nose, or on your wick.
Well, just lately, you've done all three.
Never miss an edge, you don't. Running round like a tin pot Napoleon, drunk with power. I've degraded myself for you, I have. Giving you a Kit Kat,
darning your socks just to make your naffing team. We've been sellers for a long time now. Doesn't that count for something?
Listen, if you made the team automatic, tongues would wag, wouldn't they? Favouritism. That's why you've got to prove yourself more than the next man.
I have. I did. I didn't mind doing more laps than anyone else, more press-ups than anyone else, knocking me pan out. But I will not stay behind and lace up everyone else's boots.
You're in the team.
Everybody's wetting their knickers around this prison just because we've got some so-called celebrities coming up here.
Don't you want to play, then?
What?
You're in the team.
Straight up?
Centre-back.
Oh, tough, Fletch.
No, you're changeable, ain't you?
Who else is in? Armstrong, Simkin, Rudge,
Oakes! Look, you're in the team, so don't quibble about who else is in the team, all right?
Oh, right, Coach. Everything you say, Coach. Hey, who's captain?
Why?
Well, I just wonder whether I was a contender.
A captain gobber has to possess certain attributes which set him aside from the rest of his team. That is why I've chosen light-fingered Larry.
Okay, what attributes has he got?
Half an ounce of snout, which he's now given to me, all right?
In the officers' club, Mackay is talking on a wall phone. Beale and Barraclough sit in silence, nursing pints at a table. Beale takes a slurp from his glass, then glances at Barraclough, who looks miserable.
Not many of the chaps in tonight.
There never are. Oh, it's a desperate place, is this. The only reason I come here is either this or going home.
I'm single myself. I was married. Divorced now.
Oh, really? Well, look at it this way. It is better to have loved and lost than to spend your whole ruddy life with her.
Same again, Shorty. That was Mr. Bainbridge, their team captain. Bad news, I'm afraid. We've lost David Diddy Hamilton.
Oh, dear. We still have the goody, have we?
Well, he didn't say we hadn't.
It's been a good thing for the prison, by and large. They've talked about little else. And there's been a noticeable dropping off of violence of late. Well, apart from Banyard's nose. Yes, I think you have to be commended for this idea.
Thank you, Henry. Henry. Ah!
Mackay comes out of a door in the prison's main gate and climbs aboard a coach that's waiting outside with its engine running.
Welcome to Slade, gentlemen. Our pitch is on the back. Shall we drive on?
The coach heads through some metal gates into a compound where some prisoners are attaching a net to a goal. Fletch leads his welcoming party of players out to greet the coach. They watch expectantly as the visiting showbiz team starts to disembark. One man gets off the coach carrying two footballs in a net. As the rest of the team disembarks, Fletcher's look turns from expectation to disappointment.
Well, here's the netball team. Where's the flaming football team?
A man wearing a blazer and cravat stands beside the coach door.
Which one's the goody?
I don't recognise any of them.
Fletcher?
This is, come on, Fletcher.
This is Mr. Bainbridge, who's organised the Showbiz 11.
How do you do?
Hello. Actually, we're only 10. We were supposed to pick up Tony McCauley at the Mill Hill Roundabout. He's a songwriter. Have you heard of him?
No.
Oh. Well, he didn't turn up, I'm afraid, which is why we're a bit late.
Yes. Well, we'd better get on. As you see, we've no floodlights. Well, not in the right places, anyway. Mr. Barraclough, would you see them through?
Could we borrow one of your chaps?
One of your subs, Fletcher?
Well, if you like, sir, yeah. But what about Mr. Beale, sir? I mean, he's been saying he plays a bit. He's as keen as mustard is.
Yes. I'll have a word with him.
Thanks. Thanks a lot. Forgive me asking, Mr. Mackay, but who the hell are they? I mean, me and the lads was given to understand there will be a sprinkling of celebrities, don't we?
Chap with the red hair?
does the weather on Anglia Television.
Oh.
And there are a pair of scriptwriters for somebody quite famous.
Oh.
And Mr. Benbridge himself has just finished a pantomime season at Little Hambra, Swansea.
Oh. Yeah. Well, tell the lads. They'll be right, chap.
Who are they, Fletcher?
A weatherman, 8 small parts, and a widow twanky. Now go and get changed, will you?
A man wearing a flat cap and glasses gets off the coach.
Excuse me. Is there a garage nearby? I've got to top the bus up, you see. The lads won't want to stop on the way back.
Half a mile down the road, in the village. Esso station. To start.
Ah, good. I'll nip down later.
Right.
Well,
better get changed.
In the changing room.
You all right, Etsy?
Yeah, I'm all right.
All right, lads, settle down now. Settle down, pay attention. Now, listen, I know you're all very disappointed because they all turned out to be nobodies, right?
Yeah,
I know. But the fact remains that they did come all this way to give us a game, right? So let us give them a game. Let's show them, shall we? But no rough stuff, all right? We don't need that, do we?
What about Mr. Beale?
Oh, he's all right. You can kick him to kingdom come. No, but be subtle, right? Oh, never mind. Go on, off you go then, all of you. Don't forget what I've taught you. And don't forget, whatever happens, don't let them panic you to playing football.
Dines, the coach driver, stands smoking a cigarette as the showbiz team run out in their red and white strip. Two guards look bemused.
I don't recognise any of them.
The prison team run out onto the pitch in blue shirts and black shorts. Mackay sprints onto the pitch in referee strip, clutching the match ball under his arm. He stops and briefly runs on the spot. Fletch and the subs take their place on a bench on the touchline. The showbiz team warms up with a kickabout. Dines takes a keen interest in activity on the pitch.
Doing bench with that pillar coax on the park.
All right, you'll get on some, don't fret. Here, have a snort of liniment.
Fletch passes him a brown bottle, which he takes a swig from.
Now, gentlemen, let's have a good clean contest.
It's not a boxing match, Mr. Mackay.
That's what I'm anxious to prevent.
Call heads. How's it going? Right then, Will Stairs we are.
Urquhart.
Urquhart hands Mackay the coin he picked up off the ground. The governor strolls up to the subs bench with his dog on a lead. The dog dives its head into a bucket of water.
Afternoon, Mr. Treadaway.
Oh, good afternoon, Fletcher. How's it going?
Well, difficult to tell, sir, seeing as we're only 10 seconds into the game. Yes, good dog. All right, dog. No, good dog, good dog.
Which of them's the goodie?
Oh, I don't think he's come, sir, but we have got a weatherman there out on the wing. He says it's going to rain.
Oh, well played, Slade! Who is that?
That's Armstrong, sir. 12th player, he is, sir.
Oh, this is going out next month. Pity that, if they have another fixture.
Yeah, it is a shame, isn't it, sir? He'll be right choked, he will.
More games are on the agenda, eh, Mr. Treadaway?
Oh, I don't see why not, if this one goes without a hitch. Good for morale. What's that noise?
Oh, it's nothing, sir. Just your dog peeing against my bucket. Don't worry about it.
Oh, beg your...
Come on, Oaksy! Get a move on!
Barraclough's one of the linesmen. He raises his flag for a throw-in.
Are you blind? That came off of him!
Oh, sorry, did it?
No. I never touched it!
Yes, sir.
I didn't. I think there's a message coming through in semaphore, sir. Look, I happen to be extremely honest.
Are you saying I'm not?
Well, that's why you're here, isn't it? Yes, that's it. Look, sink to Bismarck.
Grouty's lying on his bed in his cell reading a holiday brochure. Ives coughs to attract his attention.
Yes, Ives?
Oh, I just thought you might like to know, Mr. Grout, it's Slade Prison 1, Showbiz 11-0.
Really?
Yeah, a set piece. Free kick on the right, Callahan takes it, Rudge volleys, hits Gobber on the right cheek, bang, straight into the corner of the net, no chance. Well, you did ask me to keep you informed, Mr. Grant.
Better get off out there, then.
A shot from a showbiz team striker nutmegs the goalie, and the ball dribbles into the goal.
Have you been bribed, Shipkin?
No, I haven't!
Show an example, Fletcher!
Mackay blows for the restart. A showbiz player is brought crashing to the ground by two prison players.
I'm going to book you for that.
What's your name, Cooper?
Cooper!
Fletch rubs a wet sponge over the injured player's face and stomach.
Cooper!
Mackay shows Cooper a yellow card.
The ribs!
Just here.
Go!
Just there. That's him just there, Mr. Mackay.
Right. Here. Dines to a guard.
Is there somewhere I can take a leak?
Try the changing room.
Oh. Oaksy dives in for a tackle and looks hurt.
Right. I don't know yet.
Oh, go up, I only just sat down. Come on.
I hope it's nothing trivial, I might get a game.
Oaksy's leg gives way.
What's the matter, Oaksy?
Cartilage, I think. Oh, trouble, I've had it before.
You'll have to get them off, you know.
Yeah, I'll help you, Fletch, come on.
Yeah, I'll run it, I'll run it.
Go on in, Max, have my light.
I'll get up. The bearded redhead who tackled Oaksy looks puzzled.
I never touched him, you know.
I know, mate, don't worry about it.
Oaksy's helped into the changing room.
Oh, it's hell. Here, take a slider. Here. I'll best fix the MO, do you think?
No.
You're in pain, eh, John?
Yeah, I'll be all right. He knows naff all about orthopaedics. I'll just have the early bath.
Come on, Fletch. The lads need your strategy.
All right, son, all right.
Left alone, Oaksy immediately starts stripping off. Dines appears out of hiding and does the same. On the pitch, the showbiz team get a corner. The ball curls into the penalty area where a player heads it towards the goal. Standing on the goal line, Godber leaps to head it away and smashes his head against one of the posts. Dines hands Oaksy a gun that was strapped to his calf.
Ablon! Corner kick, come on!
Where are they?
Godber staggers to his feet and lurches into the goal net.
How many fingers am I holding up, Godber?
Can't fool me, sir.
Five. The lads concussed. Get him off, Fletcher.
Oh, dear.
Someone go down to the plough and sail and get the MO, will you?
I'll go.
No, don't be dark. Come on.
Right, let's get on. Corner!
Let's go kick!
Any more of that, Urquhart, and I'll have you for dissension.
Not too tight.
No, it's all right. Here, don't forget the specs.
Oaksy puts on Dines's glasses, then draws a small moustache on his upper lip.
What are you hanging about here for, Jack? I'll get on a pitch.
What?
You're substituted, John.
Let one go on.
Listen, I want your strength up front. Go on.
Corner!
Yeah, all right, then. Get in here, come on. Hey, I'll sit down there. Go on. I'll get some water, baby face.
No, you won't, Fletcher.
Oh, my God. Look, we haven't seen nothing, have we, Len?
Seen what?
It's your caper, son. I don't want nothing to do with this, right?
They saw you come in here, didn't they? You're just going to sit there till half-time and pretend you didn't notice him?
Notice what?
You'll have to take him with you.
You what?
Well, you've got no choice, have you? Otherwise, I'll be in it and all.
Now, listen, Oaksy, I'm not going anywhere, mate.
You'll do as you're told, son.
Oh, bleed now.
In.
Come on.
Sabo, Mr. Mackay, come off there, man, corner.
Yeah, see, no stuff he does. He's got amnesia, yes?
Come on, get on with it.
Oaksy puts a large square of sticking plaster across Dines' mouth, then dashes out of the changing room. With everyone's attention on the game, Oaksy unlocks the luggage compartment on the side of the coach, then nips back inside the changing room.
Right, shift.
Yeah, all right.
Checking the coast is clear, Oaksy opens the luggage compartment door and gestures to Fletch and a dazed Godber.
Right in. You're joking, Oaksy. I'm warning you, Fletcher. Get in. Get in!
Come on, Slade, take no prisoners.
Oaksy pushes them both in and closes the door, then gets into the coach and climbs into the driver's seat. A foul. Oaksy eases the coach forward and drives slowly past the pitch.
Hold it, driver! Penalty being taken.
Rudge to the goalie.
Go to your left.
The goalie dives to his right and the ball whips into the top left corner. Oaksy waits nervously in the coach.
Mr. Cox, open the gates!
Oaksy drives forward and two guards wave him through large metal gates. In his cell, Grouty chews a biscuit reflectively. Oaksy drives the coach down a remote country road away from the prison. A woman's waiting beside a camper van. She stubs out a cigarette and waves to the coach, which pulls off the road.
Everything all right?
Who's the bit?
That's my sister-in-law, Sheila.
What's she doing here?
That's a more natural married couple, Tory.
This time of year?
Ah, come on.
Hang on a minute.
Don't they say you bought a bleeding suitcase?
You're Mr. Stupid. Come on, Fletcher.
Oh, cool. I wasn't told about this.
Come on.
Oh, I wasn't told about this.
Shut up.
Okay.
Don't look at me.
Look, Fletcher, woman.
Yeah, all right, get in there.
They all climb into the back of the camper van. The van pulls onto the road and heads off, leaving the coach partially obscured by trees and vegetation.
What's the hurry, Mr. Barraclough?
I'm dying for Jimmy Riddle.
Yeah, lads.
Well, don't look at me, lads. There's 11 in the team.
Only one of us let the ball through his legs, though.
Here, where's Fletch?
Probably knackered.
Oh, it's not like Fletch to Mrs. Orange.
Barraclough heads into the changing room and stands at a urinal next to the open cubicle where Dines is sitting in his vest and pants, bound and gagged. Barraclough stares at him in disbelief.
Jolly good close game. Your chaps were unlucky not to equalise.
Not my chaps. I'm strictly impartial.
Young Budge was playing rather well.
Rudd, sir.
That's what I said.
Any word on the walking wounded in there?
Mr. Mackay.
Just a moment, Henry.
Yes, but you see...
I'm talking to the governor, Mr. Barraclough.
Yes, but there's something I think you ought to know.
Oaksy opens a can of beer.
Cheer up, Fletch! I've done you a favour, son! We're free and clear!
You think they haven't blocked the roads?
We're going north. We're going to Scotland. Never figure on that, will they, eh? Never figure on Dumfries.
Dumfries. Queen of the South, their team. Scottish League Division B, as was. Dumfries nil. Hamilton Academicals, one.
Is he all right?
He banged his head on a goalpost. At least he's oblivious to this fiasco. Johnston, two. Stenhouse, Muir, nil.
Yeah, all right, leave it out then, leave it out. What do you mean, fiasco? Sweet as a nut, this is.
Listen, Oaksy, you obviously got good reason for doing something this drastic. Me, I've got under a year to go, and the lad even less. You're doing us no favours, Oaksy. I mean, I haven't got the money for plastic surgery and a first-class ticket to Acapulco, right? And I certainly do not relish wintering in Dumfries.
Do you know, I'm very upset you feel that way, Fletch.
Oh, yeah?
But I had to bring you, you can see that, can't you?
You don't have to bring us no further, do you? Dump us. God knows we're in the middle of nowhere.
You know about Dumfries.
Look, I don't know nothing, son. It's still them and us, remember?
The van pulls over and stops.
On your way, then.
Yeah. See you, Oatsy.
I hope not.
The van pulls away, leaving Fletch and Godber at the roadside.
We're out. Yeah, I know, son. Come on.
Yes, yes, I'll wait.
Ah, everything's in hand, sir. They won't get far. Police have been informed in four counties, road checks, and all major roads south and east. The local police are looking for the coach, and I'm detailing some of our men to help them, sir.
And I'm having to ring the Home Office.
Oh.
Oh, indeed, Mr. Mackay. I shan't forget this football match was your suggestion.
Mine, sir? Oh, no, sir, no. No, sir, let us be fair. The idea came from Mr. Beale.
Did it?
Oh, sorry. Look, I know you've got other things on your mind, but without the coach, how am I going to get my chaps back to London? Yes.
Hello?
Would you mind, sir?
Treadaway, Slade.
Fletch treads cautiously through a farmyard and into a barn where Godber's rinsing his face in a bucket of water.
You all right, Len?
I think so.
Oh, good. Because we're both going to need clear heads if we're going to get ourselves out of this mess, you know.
Apples.
Stick some of these in your pockets, go on.
What for?
Sustenance, son, sustenance. We might be out all night in this, you know. God, he's really dropped us right in the class, he has.
On our fault. Wasn't us went over the wall.
I know, but the screws don't know that, do they? I mean, they've had a confab by now, wouldn't they? Whose idea was this football match? Fletcher's, sir. Oh, yes, really, very nice. And they'll put two and two together and make three.
Three?
3 years. That's why we can't let them catch us.
Can't go down the village and give ourselves up to the law.
We can't do that. They wouldn't let us get a word in edgeways. I mean, some local bobby's not going to pass up the chance of capturing us single-handed, is he? Commendation for him. Another notch on his truncheon, isn't it?
What are we going to do?
Well, actually, I've got the perfect solution.
What?
We're going to break back in.
Yeah, I know. Come on. Why don't we nick a chicken?
Don't be silly, it's Wednesday afternoon. Where we get sage and onion stuffing, eh?
Here's your loaf.
They head out of the barn and plod their way through the muddy farmyard. A barking dog causes them to quicken their step and they scarper. Turning left out of the farmyard, they're soon heading back in the opposite direction. They climb over a metal farm gate beside a road, then hastily turn on their heels as a police car races past. Beale storms angrily up and down the cell block. Wearing headphones, Grouty's oblivious to the commotion as he lights a cigar in his cell.
Hey, Fletch.
What?
How'd you know we're going the right way?
By the sun.
Godber looks up at the grey, overcast sky. A police car pulls up alongside another next to the abandoned coach. A vicar, dressed in a black cassock, cycles beside the low stone wall of a country church. Fletcher watches from behind a gravestone in the churchyard as the vicar dismounts. The vicar heads towards the church, and Fletch makes a couple of vain attempts to jump over the wall. Godber takes a flying leap at the wall and clears it easily. From the other side of the wall, the bike appears to move off on its own. Fletch pedals along a country road, with Godber behind him, clinging to his shoulders. At Slade Prison...
Excuse me! Can you tell me what's going on? No one else seems to know. We're going to miss our train if we don't leave soon.
Oh, I'm sorry, but the police want statements from all of you. You see, this whole job could all have been worked out in advance.
I bet if we brought Michael Parkinson or the goodies, you wouldn't have held them for questioning.
Probably not. But of course you didn't, did you?
Fletch uses his feet to bring the bike to a halt as he spots a farmhouse up ahead.
Oh dear. I told you it'd be dodgy.
A farmer leans on a gate as Fletch cycles slowly by with Godber jogging at his side.
Come on, come on, don't flag. Jab, jab. The big one next week, sir.
What was that?
Couple of escaped convicts.
Oh.
Fletch hides the bike in undergrowth.
Oh, Fletch, leave the bell alone.
Yeah, I suppose you're right. Old habits die hard. Might as well give him this back and all.
A bicycle pump. Fletch and Godber traipse across a field.
You just won't admit it. We're lost. It's going to be dark soon. We're going to have to sleep rough. There's going to be a frost in the night. It's all right for some of us. Some of us have got long trousers. Shh. What is it? I heard some. Thank you, Hiawatha. Hiawatha didn't wear football boots, did she?
He.
Shh, get out. What is it? Cops. Cops? You mean like a wooded glade?
Yeah. Wooded glade crawling with bleeding cops.
The prison van pulls in beside the police cars parked at the scene of the abandoned coach. Mackay gets out.
Mackay, Slade Prison. Any development, Sergeant?
Nothing. We'll be long gone by now.
Did you check the ground for tire tracks? Or the getaway vehicle?
Do you know, we never thought of that.
Oh, I didn't mean to imply it.
Yes, well, if you did your job as well as us, they wouldn't be out now, would they?
This is not an everyday occurrence, you know.
You'd expect one odd con to tunnel out or go over the wall on a rope ladder. But three of them, driving out, in a bus.
All right, lads, we're through here.
What about the coach?
It's all yours. We're finished with it.
One of the police cars sounds its horn as it reverses, and Mackay leaps out of the way. Fletch and Godber watch the police cars drive away.
Mr. Collinson, you get back to the prison. I will drive the coach with Mr. Miller.
Are you sure you can drive this thing, sir?
This? No bother at all.
Mackay climbs aboard the coach and settles into the driver's seat. He starts the engine.
All right, come on.
As Miller waves him back, Mackay stalls the engine.
Clutch! Clutch!
Right, come straight back as you are. That's it, come on. Oh, keep coming, Mr. Mackay. Come on, straight back.
Mackay looks over his shoulder, concentrating on reversing the coach. He doesn't notice Fletch and Godber run alongside the vehicle.
All right, you're clear there.
Miller climbs aboard and closes the door. It's dark as the coach arrives back at the prison. Two guards open large metal gates.
Oh, it's you, Mr. Mackay.
Yes, it's me, laddie. And if you'd have been half awake earlier, this would never have happened. Yes, sir!
Mackay drives the coach through the gates, which are closed behind him. The coach comes to a stop inside the prison grounds, and Miller steps off, rubbing his hands together and puffing out his cheeks.
It's cold. If they're out in the open, it'll freeze their brass monkeys off.
I hope so, Mr. Miller. I hope so.
As Mackay and Miller head through a heavy metal door, Fletch and Godber emerge feet first from the luggage compartment of the coach. They close the compartment door, leaving it slightly ajar.
It's just like the wooden horse.
They leg it as Mackay reappears with a torch. He spots the open compartment door and eyes it suspiciously, then pushes it to. He looks around him, then heads off.
What wooden horse? The Greeks and the Trojans. That's how the Greeks got into Troy. Would you mind saving the history lesson till we get back into our flowery dell? How are you going to manage that? Have I ever let you down?
No.
Well, I might now.
Crouching low, they move off, staying close to a building wall. They turn a corner and an owl's hoot spooks Fletch.
Freeze!
Freezing already.
Fletch edges forward to a metal hatch in the ground.
What's this? Come on, give us a hand.
They lift it open and Fletch disappears down into its dark depths, followed by Godber, who closes the hatch behind him.
Half past eight, the club should be open.
I didn't open up. As under the circumstances, I thought nobody would be here.
Yes, well, in the circumstances, I need a drink more than most evenings. What'll it be, Mr. Barraclough?
Oh, something to keep out the cold.
Yeah, it's bitter out.
It's bitter in.
Make those two large ones, will you?
You know, I'm surprised at Fletcher and Godber going over. Surprised and disappointed.
You will never learn, will you, Mr. Barraclough? You can't judge these people by our standards of decency and behaviour. They're the dregs of society.
Oh, sorry. What was that?
Shh, shh, shh. It's coming from the storeroom. Yeah. It's locked. Of course it's locked. That's where I keep all the booze.
Give me the keys, man.
Help!
Oh, thank God, Mr. Mackay, saved at last.
Where are we? Who is it?
Don't worry, Lynn. Our ordeal is over.
You're saying that Oakes forced you down the delivery hatch?
At gunpoint, sir. Well, he had to do something, you see, otherwise we would have blown the whistle on him, sir. You see, we would have gone and seen Mr. Mackay, who happened to have the whistle at the time.
It's no laughing matter, Fletcher.
The man's been drinking, sir.
Well, I had to, sir. It was only medicinal, sir. It was perishing down there.
The audacity of it. Prisoners in the prison officer's club.
That was a very shrewd move on Oakes's part, sir.
I don't follow you.
He knew it was the one place where you'd never find a prison officer.
Fletch is playing draughts.
There'll be one or two red faces in the governor's office this morning.
Oh, yeah.
King, please.
Oh, dearie.
They put it out on BBC last night. Three prisoners escaped from Slade Prison. This morning, they got to say, sorry, we only meant one.
Makes them look as if I can't count, doesn't it?
Great, Fletcher.
Oh, hello, Mr. Grouty, sir.
There'll be something for you in your Christmas stocking, Fletcher.
Oh, thank you, sir. I look forward to that, sir.
Carry on.
What do you mean by that, Fletch?
Oh, it's all right. I got them some millet for their lovebirds, you know.
I didn't know Samson and Delilah had millet.
The cage bird, you stupid little nook.
Oh, dear.
I don't know why you kowtow to that band, Grout.
I know you don't, Mr. Banyard. That's why your nose looks like it does.
Fletch picks up his half of the drafts board. Rudge follows him up some stairs.
Fletch.
What? All right, you are. Am I?
Yeah, you used your head.
All you got in here is something.
I'm learning that. Good.
Okay, now here's today's lucky horoscope for Taurus the Bull. Romantic inclinations may pull you in one direction, but cool common sense will be urging you to follow another course.
Godber's lying on his bunk as Fletch strides into the cell.
Everybody's been asking me today what really happened.
Oh, yeah?
You'd be amazed at some of the theories people have come out with. Still, you're all right. All adds fuel to the Fletcher legend.
What's the matter with you? Well, we're still in this cell, aren't we, while Oakes is Hardy Krueger. Hardy Krueger?
The one that got away. Film. Starring Hardy Krueger.
Well, I shouldn't worry about it. Before too long, he's going to be Googie Withers again.
Googie Withers?
Within these walls.
Maybe not. Maybe he got abroad.
He'll hate it. They always do. I mean, you can't sit in the sun for the rest of your life, can you? Before too long, he'll get homesick about Halifax or wherever he lives. He'll miss kippers or custard, wildcat strikes.
Maybe.
Look, Len, why don't you bide your time, eh? I mean, you'll soon be off out of here, won't you? Free and clear. And you won't be looking over your shoulder all the time. You won't be listening out for every creak on the stair, will you?
Yeah, you're right, Fletch. I just wasn't thinking straight. Fresh air must have gone to me head.
Stum. Evening, Mr. Mackay.
I won't buy it, Fletcher.
Oh, that's just as well, sir, because it ain't for sale.
You know to what I am referring. The governor may believe your story, but the governor does not walk these floors. I was in the village today. Some peculiar reports. Sightings, you might say.
Oh, yeah? UFOs, you mean, sir?
Oh, yes. Unidentified fleeing objects. A boxer in shorts with his trainer. A sexton's missing bicycle. A farmer sees two thieves running from his apple store. Now, I can't prove you're out, Fletcher. Godbar. But mark my words. My day will come.
Fletch and Godber both take large bites out of the apples they took from the farm. Mackay fixes them with a suspicious stare and his head twitches involuntarily.
Next on War 4, first of two, revisit Grand Designs.
My own turn at 17 took me down a one-way street. I should have listened to my head and turned right round. Instead, I just followed my feet. I thought I was headed in the right direction, but it was downhill all the way. Oh, sooner or later, the man's gonna take you, turn on the key and lock you away. But it's gonna be alright. It's coming out good. It's gonna be alright. I'm changing my ways and turning the tide. There's a piece of me that no one can take, and it's locked up in my head. And I've got the key and it keeps me free inside. There's a piece of me that no one can take, and it's locked up in my head. Gave you no hard luck stories, never gave you no alibis. If your hand's in the hat and you pull out a ticket, don't mean you take the prize. I know I was heading in the wrong direction, but a man can change his ways. Oh, sooner or later, time's gonna make you count up the cost and count up the days. It's gonna be alright. It's coming out good. It's gonna be alright. I'm changing my ways and turning the tide. There's a piece of me that no one can take, and it's locked up in my head. And I've got